My name's Joe Biden, and I'm a lifetime member of the NAACP. But I said that a little earlier to the president. He said, "Are your dues paid up? I got a check." Oh, my Lord. So many people here today. You changed the world. 70 years ago, you changed. I say the world. That's not hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. No, it changed the United States. It changed our role in the world in a fundamental way. I know there's a lot more to do. President Johnson, that introduction, thank you for your leadership. But most importantly, for the NAACP. It's an honor to be with all of you here at the National Museum of American African-American History and Culture. Remember, we're trying to get this built for years? It's pretty neat, isn't it? By the way, I want to thank the staff who runs this place. They do an incredible job. Together, the NAACP and this museum are monuments to the power of Black history. And Black history is American history. It's American. No. It's really important thing to continue to. We have a whole group of people out there trying to rewrite history, trying to erase history. It's a tribute to heroes, known and unknown, who pursued our nation's North Star. We're unique among all nations of the world, and I mean that. Every other nation is based on ethnicity, based on religion and other things, but we're the only one based on an idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and should be treated equally their whole lives, throughout their lives. We've never fully lived up to that idea, to state the obvious, but we've never walked away from either because of so many of you in this room and so many more. 70 years ago, when the Supreme Court ruled in Brown versus the Board of Education that racial segregation in public schools is unconstitutional, a prayer was answered in a long struggle for freedom. Yesterday, I welcomed the family of plaintiffs of that landmark case to the White House, to the Oval Office, their office. Once upon a time, they were excluded from certain classrooms. But 70 years later, they're inside the most important rooms of all, the Oval Office, where they belong. They're a living reminder that once upon a time wasn't that long ago. And all the progress we've made is still have more to do. And there's still groups that are trying to erase it. You know, one of the cases that led to the landmark decision was in my home state of Delaware. A Black mother from Hoquesson, Delaware, joined by parents and eight other students in Claymont, a town I moved to when we work ran out in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and we moved back in third grade, moved here in to Delaware in third grade. All in Claymont, they just wanted a simple proposition. They want their kids to be able to attend school and be treated with dignity and respect. They asked the man who I looked up to and really admired and helped me out as a young public defender, Louis L. Redding. He was the first man, the first Black man ever admitted.
So that's the president of the United States giving his address. He's trying to get the Black vote. That's what it is. I mean, that's ultimately what it's all coming down to. We were talking a little bit about this yesterday with some of the things that he's been trying to do. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Got a little bit of a tech issue with in-ear monitors, so we're going to deal with that as we get going. But we are going to, as we roll through the show, we got the hits for you. We got a lot of stuff to get addressed as we roll into this weekend, this Friday. And we're going to follow everything from the latest of 2024. And, you know, this is Biden trying to, he's trying to campaign, I guess. This is his version of campaigning. So he's, but it's all like race based. Everything is race based. It's all race. It's all, you know, everything that he's doing. He's not talking about inflation. He's not talking about job loss. He's not talking about taxation. He's not talking about any of these things. What he's actually, I mean, he's not talking about any of that stuff. He's talking about the issue of race and how everybody is bigoted and et cetera, and we're going to be able to remedy all of this through government policy, through more government programs. And that's what's kind of been like the nonstop thing in this, you know, from the that's what has been his push. So That's I don't know how well that's going to go over, because they've been hemorrhaging, as we've talked about numerous times. They've been hemorrhaging Democrats, and not just Biden either. I mean, this is something that's a down ticket thing. They have been hemorrhaging black votes, Hispanic votes in numerous surveys. I mean, for what, months now? And I just don't think that something like this is going to be the thing that does it. I don't think that something like this is going to, you know, just giving speeches like this is going to be the thing that does it. That's going to be the thing that gets people over the line. Like, yeah, it's okay that our dollars don't stretch as far as they used to. You know, yeah, it's all right that, you know, the stuff that, you know, we can't afford basic things, and that it's going to get even more unaffordable because with the taxation scheme that they're talking about implementing. Yeah, I mean, it's all right. Go ahead and talk to us about, what was it? Yesterday it was pot. And then he was talking about menthols, and then he was trying to do like a bailout for the, or like a little hat tip to the Rust Belt. Oh yeah, we're going to pause some of these, you know, ethanol things. We're going to pause some of the, oh, we're going to have tariffs. We're going to reinstate the Trump tariffs as it pertains to China, even though like he undid them right when he got into office. But, you know, I digress. I just, all of this stuff seems like it's too little too late. And whether or not that's going to be, because we're still, yes, we're still like 5 months out, but whether or not that's going to be something that helps the deficit and helps stop the hemorrhage, I just don't think that's going to work this time. Previously, it was able to work with them. Democrats were able to do that, and it's worked, but I don't think it's working anymore. I mean, you got this like audio soundbite, like for instance, I want to get in because they say that it sounds like every, when he goes out there and when Kamala Harris goes out there, it's all a grab bag. It's all a gimme grab bag, right? I want you to listen to this. This is audio soundbite 8. So Harris, when she was speaking, she was talking about grants. Remember, we went through something like this with Too Big to Fail. We went through something like this with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And you guys remember that when you had banks that were being forced to lower their criteria. And they were being forced into lowering the criteria for loan acceptance and issue, you know, loans to ultimately people that not would not have previously qualified for them. Is this kind of going back to this? Audio somebody, listen to this.
We have now proposed that if you are the child of parents who, or you were raised in a family where the folks who raised you were not homeowners, when you want to go buy a home, you will be entitled to a $25,000 grant toward down payment for a home.
You know where that's coming from? That's coming from the taxpayer. That's the taxpayer. I mean, where else does that come from? It's the taxpayer. That's it. I mean, $25,000 down payment from where? Where is that money coming from? I get Too Big to Fail flashbacks here, but what they're doing is they want to buy everybody off. This is about buying people off is what it is. And instead of, you know, why don't you just come up with like good policy? Why don't you just come up with good economic policy? Why don't you just get government out of it all? Good heavens. So we got this. We got a bunch of stuff to hit today. This is just one of the start, because this is what you can come to expect from the, you know, their campaign. This is you're going to hear about freebies. That it's hard to run against Santa. It is. But hopefully people do the math. Well, wait, we have some of the dumbest people in the world.
Biden did some math this morning. You want to hear some of Biden's math?
I want to hear Biden math. I love Biden math. Go ahead. Hit me.
We raised $400 billion over the next 10 years.
$400 million. It sounds like a lot of money.
It almost sounds like a quadrillion.
It's close to. It's just lot. Under a quadrillion.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. That's a lot of dollars. There, he doesn't know math, and he doesn't know money, and he can't earn money. If you get the newsletter that I send out, did you guys see this headline? Joe Biden's carrying debt of up to $815,000, according to financial records. Apparently, they also failed to net royalties from three of their book titles. That's a huge thing, by the way, to not make money on the books that you sell. I mean, good grief, I get royalty checks. That's kind of, and I'm not the president of the United States. Nobody's buying their books. most of the debt is on their Delaware house, and they have an equity loan on that home. And it said their debt consists of a short-term loan of about $15,000. They have a loan against a mutual fund for $50,000. They have, you know, some assets, etc. But apparently they did not make, they came out with how many books, and they haven't made any money off of them because nobody's buying their books. They can't sell. Nobody wants to buy them. And I, because they got a pretty big advance for these books, didn't they? I mean, you have three books and you can't make royalties off of them. So they probably didn't go into like secondary printing and all of that either, I would imagine. Okay. They're because they don't know money. They don't know how to make money. They don't know how to do any of this stuff. So they're carrying, they've got debt. And, I think this is one of the reasons why you see them wanting to merge out the, whether it's the vice presidency office, the, you know, office of the vice president, whether it's the White House, you know, really, really merging that out. Interesting. In the meantime, you got Hunter Biden in court, and I read a piece this morning that was at Politico, and they were citing what they said were, listen to this headline, Biden aides worry about psychological torment as Hunter heads for trial, because he's got this trial coming up. June 3rd, June 7th, starts in June, beginning of June, first week of June. And they're concerned because that he might actually spend some time in prison. You know, it wouldn't be totally a shocker. They said they're going to have to watch and wait because these are the felony gun charges that he's coming up on. So we're going to talk about some of this because now this is being floated out there, I think, in an effort to explain Joe Biden giving him a pardon. I think Joe Biden's going to pardon him. And they're going to try to lay this as the groundwork. Oh, psychological torment, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, Dexter Taylor's still sitting in prison for not doing a single damn thing. We got a lot to hit today because we got some cultural stuff. The fallout continues from that Harrison Bucker thing. We got two guests coming up for you today. We're going to be talking to the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, who is joining the show because I think he wakes up in the morning and is like, whose ass can I kick? He woke up and was like, wow, why is Kansas City doxing this football player simply because he gave a commencement address that made some of the woke scolds mad? And they doxed him and they're like, yeah, he lives here in this town, etc. So he's looking into it. He's going to be joining us as well. We're also coming up. We're going to be discussing the fallout and the legacy, I should say, of the fallout as it pertains to COVID and lockdowns and all of that stuff continues. And so we're going to talk about some of that as well coming up with Jay Bhattacharya, who is Stanford School of Medicine, the World Health Organization. They've been trying to get everyone to commit to a new global treaty. Are they going to have Taiwan be excluded from it like they did the last one? We'll talk about all of this and more. So we got a lot of stuff to hit. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared. And Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. And you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping. And that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up. Your ammunition builds up over time. And it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse. And it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at AmmoSquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's AmmoSquared.com.
Don't let these people think you're a moron. Biden claims he brought inflation down from 9 to 1%, blaming corporate greed and shrinkflation. He says that people like you actually have money that they don't want to spend.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't like robots that do human stuff. It's like weird and think for themselves. And so in this freak robot that apparently was made in China can learn. I don't know, really, was it? Or is this China being like, no, we don't have like crappy tech at all. I don't believe when I read stuff like this. But they said apparently they're trying to expand this humanoid robot offerings that they have. And they have this S1, and apparently it can actually handle hold 22 pounds per arm. It can go at a pace of 32.8 feet per second. And it's only wires and metals right now, but they said apparently it even can do calligraphy and open and pour wine, flip a sandwich in a frying pan, and it also folds and irons laundry. I don't want it to do all that stuff. I don't need all that. Humans, you got to be careful here. You're going to outsource everything you do in life to robots. You can't. I cannot wait for this. South Park is going to tackle, because of Cartman, the Ozempic craze in an End of Obesity special, the 7th Paramount Plus South Park storyline, and date has been announced, and they're calling it the End of Obesity. And so Cartman is denied access to life-changing medication, and the kids jump into action. And so he's being told that his weight is out of control, and he needs to get on Smegalitude, whatever that is. He needs to get, what is it, like a derivative of it? He needs to get on that. That's what he's got to get on. So this is going to be so, I'm so watching this. Also, inflation is a problem, but I don't know what's going on at Amazon. Amazon workers say they're struggling to afford food and rent. They're also struggling to not run their trucks headfirst into people that I know. I'm just saying. But they said that they're having, their warehouse workers are struggling. I don't know. I always like wonder when I, you know, when you kind of do wonder this stuff. Like how?
It's
like,
more inflation than Amazon.
Yeah. Like what? Yeah. Like how's it going there in the Amazon warehouses? Frozen human brain tissue brought back to life in a major breakthrough. I feel like we shouldn't be doing this. They said that scientists may someday be able to freeze brains, bring them back to life following a major breakthrough in cryogenics. This would explain some of the stuff I've been seeing on Twitter lately in terms of behavior. Again, though, this is one of the things where they say, well, it's researchers. Some of the researchers are from China, which makes me question the viability of any of it. We have a lot more on the way, including the latest. We got Coulter and a St. Louis police officer under fire because he lit a cigar while arresting a suspect. It's kind of cool, though. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter.
Please tell me what that has to do with Merrick Garland.
Is she a porn star?
Oh, Goldman. That's right. He's advising. Okay.
He's advising who? What? Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even
order. Order of your committee.
Order. I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Move her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Don't even play.
Baby girl,
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So who will have to pay us? Okay. Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she was apologized. No, no, no.
Perry, okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green.
I'm not apologizing.
Well,
seconds.
Then
okay,
you're
reserve
not
the right to
your word.
I am
you're
not apologizing.
Now let's go. Come on, guys.
Why don't you debate me?
Mr. Chairman, the
I
minority
think it's self-evident.
Chair recognizes you're not.
Yeah, you're not.
Out of order.
You don't have enough intelligence.
You're out of order. Chair recognizes Mr. Perry.
This
okay,
needs to be like
move
a cartoon.
To strike the,
I'd like to strike
I
those
to strike
words.
The
this needs to be a cartoon, and then we need to do like the bad lip reading over it. That can you imagine this animated? Oh man, can you imagine this being animated? I mean, and I actually feel bad for once for the men in this room. Because it's like just, it's crazy. I got to check out these eyelashes now first. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Oh, man. Dana Lash here with you. We're here at the top, bottom of the second hour. I got to look at these eyelashes because they are kind of long. Okay, I get it. I mean, the images of the men that are sitting there, they're dying laughing over this stuff. And it they can't hide it. They're just, they're laughing over this. Can we save this? I just want to just put this in a folder somewhere. Sure. She was asking, because you had Jennifer Van Laar, who did a lot of really great work over at Red State. She was the one who broke the story about Judge Merchan and all this stuff. And it was like it was stolen by grifters and repackaged to make them look like they do original reporting, make them look like they do stuff. And it was all Jennifer. I mean, she was the one who broke this stuff. But she's her. I mean, we've been watching her story go around here, and I'm looking at So this came out because Green had said she was asking about whether or not, I guess, that daughter had been fundraising for any of the Democrats on the committee. And that's when Jasmine Crockett got involved in this. And she's from Texas. Isn't she Dallas? She's not my rep, but she's part of some parts of the county I'm in, but she's not my rep. So I find that. That's fascinating. But yeah, she went after her eyelashes. That's a serious thing, man. What did she say? I think your eyelashes are interfering or something like that.
Messing up your vision or something.
Yeah. Can I just be real for a minute? Are we really going to act like there's any civility left in D.C. or elsewhere? I'm not advocating for it to not come back. I'm just saying you have people who are in committees and they go through the formality of committees and they engage in heinous policymaking, truly heinous policymaking. And we're supposed to believe that the formalities of these committee proceedings lend it an air of class or make it more palatable. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Like the formality of the committee proceedings make the fact that government's bending you over a barrel and robbing you blind. It makes it more palatable and classy, right? Yeah, it makes it proper. So I really, when you see things that happen in D.C. that match what D.C. is doing to you, I feel torn because the part of me that thinks that civility is maybe one of the last shreds of anything that we have in keeping the society together is at odds with the part of me that is like, yeah, blanket. Let the bridges I burned light my path. You know, that's kind of, I don't know. So I'm torn. What do you think, Kane? Was this out of line for Marjorie Taylor Greene? I don't know what led up to this, except
no,
from this exchange.
I don't think it's out of line. I think that they love to police language, the left. And in these, you know, committees, you're not supposed to be disparaging to anyone's personal appearances or their personalities. So that's part of the rules. So because that is the rule, Democrats are going to, you know, utilize it to the best of their ability.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was something. That was an exchange, all right. Yeah, and then they got real mad, and then AOC gets in, because AOC has never seen a fight that she has not wanted to get involved in and have someone else hold her back. Right. And then what is up with the baby girl? Like, who talks to your grown woman? I found that more cringe than the eyelash remark. Stop. Just stop it. There's so many cringe people in politics. It's so ridiculous. You got a lot of the loudest people out there do the least amount of work and move the needle the least. That's the truth. You know it. And they are thirsty. Man. But why did she get involved in this? So it just descends into this, like, I don't know what it is. It's a, and this woman, this lawmaker, I think she's, what, this is her first term in this Jasmine Crockett. So right. She's, you know, first term. I will say something about the fake eyelashes. In TV, they always try to make you wear them, you know. And when you do TV, you're supposed to wear them. I mean, if you go on any network, I used to go to networks with makeup already on my face because they grab you and they paint you to look like an Oompa Loompa to match their set lights, and then they stick spider legs on your face. And I can't stand it. And it used to be a big point of contention whenever I would go in to do network TV. It was a big point of contention because I hated wearing all of the spackle and all. I just can't. I loathe it. And I will say some of them get a little carried away, Kane. You know what I mean? If you look like one of them baby dolls that you get at the store where it's, you know, right. Or if you look like you're sleepy because your lashes are too big, then maybe they are.
There is a line, you know, and then it's obvious when that line's crossed.
I don't begrudge. I mean, ladies like them. I don't care. But when they are when they're comically big, right? Like when you can affix jewels on them.
And you feel the breeze with every blink.
Yeah. Like if you got to comb them, I feel like they might be too big. Just saying. So I don't know. I just think it's funny that the men though in that room, they did not know what to do with that. And then you had, what was it? James Comer is trying to keep it all together. It's not happening for him, but he was trying. He was trying to keep it all together. So that was an exchange that they had there. Ooh, my word. It's just another day in Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen. That's all it is. Now, I wanted to go back to this story because we were talking about Biden campaigning and you know, we got this trial coming up for Hunter Biden, right? 55-year-old baby infant. Hunter Biden, little baby Hunter, who is going to be going to trial on both gun and tax charges. Because if you remember, when he was writing his memoirs, and he was writing in his book how high as a kite he was during a specific period where he's naming dates and talking about how high he was. And then it comes out that this 4473 that he filled out to go and purchase his firearm was done and dated at the exact time that he wrote about in his book of being high as a kite and you know, going around and just being a druggie. Yeah, that kind of means that you lied on a federal form about whether or not you're a drug user and you're purchasing a firearm. And so I just think if the ATF is going to go after FFLs for grammatical mistakes and strip them of their license, then they can go after Hunter Biden for literally lying on a federal form. I mean, Dems de rules. Y'all wanted this. So now you got to live in the, you made the bed, lay in it. So now he's going to be going to trial. And I think Joe Biden's getting ready to pardon him, you know. I think that he's going to pardon him because they're trying to already, this is being pushed out. Like, oh my gosh, is this, you know, Biden aides are so worried. The president has expressed some fear that his son may serve time in prison. And they said that the president's allies, they said, are, you know, they're looking and waiting back to see what happens at the trial. But apparently, you know, the president is concerned and they said, oh, the Republican attacks on his son, you know, they're not impacting the Republican attacks. He engaged in behavior along with his dad that compromised their legitimacy. That's, and observing that fact is not an attack. That's not how that word is used, nor does that infer such. But they said that he's worried about people not being hands off. And, you know, they're worried because he's got these two cases. It really does seem like they're kind of floating the potential for a pardon, you know, because Biden's so worried. Right. I kind of get that. I sort of get that from this. The president worries about Hunter every single day from the moment he wakes up to the moment he goes to sleep. One of the advisors told Politico that's only going to pick up during the trial. They're saying that he could be suffering from psychological torment. He's concerned. They're fretting about how the weight of the trial is going to affect the president. So I guess the argument is that if you let Hunter go to trial, you're imperiling the country. Is that, that's kind of the intimation, is it not? I mean, that seems he worries about him all the time. When Hunter Biden was living in the White House, well, Biden just wanted to keep his son close. And then they started finding cocaine everywhere, which is the first. You know, finding all that. I told you they found more in the White House, right there in the Capitol. Police headquarters. Yeah. This story of this St. Louis police officer, speaking of police, our hometown, Kane. Yeah. A St. Louis police officer was recorded on video straddling a suspect during an arrest at a nightclub and lit up a cigar while doing it. He got this person detained on the ground. He borrowed a lighter from another officer, had a stogie outside of the Marquee restaurant and lounge. The officer was not identified. He had his right arm on the suspect's chest as he lit the cigar with his free hand. And he was just as cool as a cucumber. The guy was trying to free his hands. It wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to get up and get free. I don't even know what led to, apparently there was like some kind of altercation and the guy had to be removed from the venue. But there were no injuries, all this. Why is there a controversy over this? Out of curiosity. I'm just, you know, I don't know why there would be there. And so the department is investigating the incident. How is this an incident? I don't know. He's pinning the man down and then he lights his cigar. Well, if he's got to stay there for a little bit, you know, I mean, right. You know, he's got to do what he's got to do. Maybe he needed a cigar. I don't know. I mean, this city is the home of the knockout game. It's where the knockout game was born. You're going to be mad about the cops smoking a stogie while he's arresting this guy? Come on now. I just think it's kind of badass. I mean, he ain't doing nothing wrong. He not being mean with him. He not roughing him up, right? Right. What am I missing here, Kane? Why is there all this drama?
If that was on like Washington near like, I don't know, I think 11th Street somewhere around there's a big cigar bar right there. So my guess is maybe he was right by the cigar bar. Just couldn't help himself.
Yeah, this, well, I mean, you know, that could
I just
be
don't
true.
See the issue. Like, was there a victim because he lit up the stogie? Was there some sort of property damage?
No.
Was there any sort of personal damage to any individuals because he lit up a stogie?
I mean, it's right near Washington Avenue.
Yeah, I'm not seeing what the issue is.
It's literally also, by the way, like a street over from the police, from their department. So it's, I mean, it's not that far, but I mean, the club is literally, it's like right off Locust. It's in downtown. For those who don't know, it's like right there in the middle of everything. But
yeah, so it wouldn't be that far from that cigar bar, actually.
No, I'm looking at it. It's not. It isn't. But yeah, this is our hometown. I know exactly where this is. Actually, you're right. It's right by that. So what's the deal? I don't see a problem with it. Good on that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's all. I just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was pretty cool. The time is now to revolutionize how you approach health and wellness. So I want to introduce you to Lumen. It's a groundbreaking handheld metabolic coach. And with Lumen, you can track your metabolism through your breath and get real-time insights on whether you're burning fat or carbs. And the best part is that the Lumen app provides tailored guidance to enhance your nutrition, your workouts, your sleep cycles, even stress management. So it works pretty easy. You just breathe into your Lumen device first thing in the morning and you get this snapshot of your metabolism for the day along with a personalized nutrition plan. And plus you can use it before and after workouts and meals, ensuring that you're always in tune with what's happening in your body. It helps you read your body's signals and it gives you an accurate metabolic reading, whereas you usually would have to go to a lab for that. Your metabolism is your body's engine and it powers everything that you do. So optimizing it with Lumen means easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep. So if you're ready to take the next step in your health journey, head over to lumen.me and use code DanaShow for $100 off your Lumen device. Remember, that's lumen.me, lumen.me. And don't forget to use code DanaShow for $100 off. Thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode and helping everybody achieve their health goals.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Food is the third biggest source of cities' emissions, right after buildings and transportation. But all food is not created equal. The vast majority of food that is contributing to our emission crisis lies in meat and dairy products.
Oh, you're not coming for that.
Why is he talking about any of this? Eric Adams, agriculturalist. I like how they assembled. Who can we get to stand here behind you? Well, let's get some official looking people. We need someone with one of them little chef's hats. Yeah, we need a chef. Yeah, let's get us a little chef up there.
Yeah, we're talking about
food. Chef. Yeah. We're talking food. Get a chef up there. You know. Like that hat that mouse wore in Ratatouille. Get it up there. Right? Get him out there. Get him up there behind, because we're talking about food and stuff. I'm saying. Why are they talking? That's Eric Adams in New York. Why is he talking about, they don't even have farm animals in Manhattan. What's happening? I mean, they do.
This is his way of making it up to the Biden administration.
They're on MSNBC. What?
Maybe this is his way of making it up to the Biden administration.
For what?
Remember how he always talked bad about the immigration thing, and he was kind of lambasted a little there from Democrats on it. So maybe this is his way of trying to get back into the good graces.
I don't even know what I don't get it. I don't even understand what his point, what he's, I don't get this. I don't get any of this. So why does he
cows just, are bad. Cows are bad.
I like cows.
I love cows. They're they taste amazing.
Yeah. They're so tasty and they're fun to watch.
They're vegan.
Yeah. They don't harm. They don't hurt nobody.
Yeah. They don't eat meat.
No, they're not out there bothering. They're not out there talking about anybody's eyelashes or anything like that. We have more of that drama, by the way. If you thought that was the only cut that we had, girl, baby girl, we got more. Golly, grown-ass women. I like, what is it? I retweeted him. Who is it over at Kyle Mann over at the Babylon Bee? He goes, there should be a separate girl congress where the girl congressmen can yell at each other while the regular congressmen can get work done. We're going to talk more about this. Here coming up, we're also going to talk about the World Health Organization, because we just like can't get away from these fools and this insistence that we work with the World Health Organization and adopt somehow a new global treaty to prevent pandemics, because that didn't work the last time. Stick with us. Friends over at Caltech, the Sub 2K, and this is the third generation, not the Gen 3. It's been shipping now. It's a 9mm carbine, and it's easy to store, easy to deploy, super accurate, and it's fun on the range. It's a, like I said, 9mm carbine. Previously, with the other iterations, you had to take your optics off, but you do not with the Gen 3 version. No more attaching and reattaching your favorite optics, because with a simple twist and fold motion of that patent-pending rotating forend, the whole thing folds in half, optics and all. It accepts Glock mags, Glock 19s, fit flush, Glock 17, and stick mags with the mag going past the grip, all fits. And redesigned trigger mechanics, lightened 5-pound pull. The action's been updated, easier to rack. Also, the internal buffer means softer recoil. It's just a great carbine for the whole family. And it's made right in America, family-owned, Florida-based, values at their best. To learn more about Kel-Tec Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, and tell them Dana sent you.
Oh, you just voted to do
y'all
it.
Did it first, so you
just
voted
to do it.
Order.
I'm trying to get clarification.
Look at, calm down.
No, because this is what y'all do. So I'm trying to get clarification.
Ms. Crockett, you're not recognized. Ms. Crockett.
I can't hear you with your yelling.
You don't want
calm
me to
down.
Be,
no. Can you please calm
don't
down?
Don't tell me to calm down.
Calm down.
Because y'all
please
talk
calm
noise,
down.
And then you
you're
can't
out of
take
control.
Because if I come and talk about her, y'all going to have a problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Order. Chair now recognizes Ms. Green for 4 minutes and 21 seconds. 4 minutes. Let Ms. Green talk, and then you all can. I'll recognize.
But I
move
to strike her words for a second time based on her second set of personal remarks attacking another member.
Who?
Chairman Comer.
Because you all cannot seem to apply
the
rules of the committee. We have to do this every time.
I'm recognized. I'm recognized. I'm going to go ahead and start talking.
Look, I know. Look, I don't know if you've noticed this. I have two hearing aids. I'm very deaf. I'm not understanding. Everybody's yelling. I'm doing the best I can. Can we not recognize Ms. Green and let her
get? We cannot because of the rules of the committee, Mr. Chair. That is what I'm trying to communicate in the present moment.
We have a motion. Okay, what's
as opposed to any other moment? The hell. This is the thing that is most entertaining to me today, because this is the snapshot of politics. All hell broke loose in the House, and I like the joke that Babylon Bee said. We just need to have like its own girl Congress. Just have girl Congress and then the regular Congress, And then the girl Congress can fight about stuff because that's how it started. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. Can we, this is, I will say, this is how it started. Can we play, just play so that, because this is how all of this started. It had to do with eyelashes. Listen.
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter.
Please tell me what that has to do with Merrick Garland.
Is she a porn star?
Oh, Goldman. That's right. He's advising. Okay.
He's advising who? What? Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you the one talking about. I guess
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even
order of your committee.
Order.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words.
Gets crazier now.
That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Oh,
girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play,
baby girl.
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So who will have
to... Like, what is that?
Okay. Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she apologized. No.
Perry, okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green...
I'm not apologizing.
Well,
seconds.
Then
okay,
you're
reserve
not
the right to object.
Your words.
I am not apologizing.
Poor James Comer.
What? I mean, Comer's just like, the hell? I just want to get done with this. And then he comes, he's like, I'm deaf. I just want to get done. Oh, my gosh. It's Congress, everybody. Your tax dollars pay for this. Welcome back, Dana Lash, again. Oh, man.
The greasy skids of Congress.
Yeah, the greasy skids of Congress. Greasy for who knows why. But I do agree. I think we need a separate girl Congress. Just take y'all's drama over there. I don't even know. This had to do with the, the ongoing, Green had asked, she was looking to see if anybody there sitting in the committee had actually been working with Judge Mershon. That's Jennifer Van Laar's independent reporting that was stolen by some plasticine grifters. And, you know, they try to pass it off as their own original reporting. But she's the one who broke all that stuff over at Red State. And she was asking as to whether or not any of the Democrats on the committee had benefited from that lady's fundraising. You know, Steve's right. I mean, I was waiting for somebody to go, Jerry. I'm just waiting for it. Waiting for a chair to get thrown. There was always a chair to get thrown. I wonder how many chairs they went through. It's always a chair to get thrown. But did they get it back on track after that? I don't know. I just wanted to, you know, I don't know. Did they get it back on track?
I think so.
I mean, I am just mesmerized. And I said earlier, I don't know how I feel about stuff like this because as someone, I mean, I told you yesterday, I cut my teeth in activism in the streets in St. Louis, like literally running around raising money and raising hell. And I, you know, I kind of always felt that the stuff in Congress, there's a lot of very improper things that happen and are done and carried out over the American people. And they're given this veneer of propriety from the processes through which it happens. Now they sit there in their business wear at their little oak desks and they sit in this committee room and they gavel in and they gavel out and they go through all these processes and it looks very official and very orderly, but the stuff that's being done is neither orderly nor official, nor is it moral, nor is it half of it constitutional. And they go through this whole Rube Goldberg of the appearance of propriety. And yet what's being done to you isn't proper at all. What's being done to taxpayers isn't proper at all. And so it's like they think that somehow, though, keeping it there ensconced in the well-carpeted committee rooms, that makes it somehow more, it makes it right. It makes it proper. It makes it moral. It makes it good, right? And I just don't know. So part of me is like, I understand that civility is really the last line of defense against a completely just broken down society. But at the same time, there are a lot of people who don't deserve civility, and I'm not in a position to indulge people with the welfare of giving it when I don't feel it. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, right? Right? Am I being wrong on this, or should we be like, no, this is, you know, they can't act like this. Everybody be adults.
Should always strive to treat people fairly, Dana.
I think people should be treated as they deserve. That's me.
Yeah, there's actually an argument
for that,
too.
This is where my very diegenistic cynicism comes in.
But most of mine, the reason I go that route is because, you know, it's like anger is like drinking poison expecting your enemy to die. It's not going to happen. You gotta find a center. Gotta find your calm.
Well, it's
calm.
Not that. They just get dramatic over everything.
Well, that's what I mean. This is the lesson for them, is what I'm saying.
I do think that the eyelash thing, that was like kind of with some weak sauce. I mean, you didn't have to. What
to
was
strike
the point
those
of it?
Words? But still, to strike those words, it's like, I don't know. Was that disparaging? She's like, she just said maybe your
they
eyelashes.
They were large eyelashes.
Yeah, she's like, maybe your eyelashes are doing this.
I mean, they're like stage size. You know, I don't know. To each to their own. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know. That's some of the stuff that's happening. I wanted to get into some of these other things. Did you see the story? Greg Abbott had pardoned this former U.S. Army sergeant. He was released from prison. This had to do with a 2020 riot that took place. The decision, because the governor doesn't get to make the decision. He doesn't have like the executive authority over this. You have a Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles. They're the people who vote to do it. And I think that some people don't understand that that's how that works in Texas. However you want to take it. I've seen anytime pardons or anything like this has come up before, people get mad if Abbott doesn't do something or if he does. And he has appointed, I think, a lot of the people on the board, but ultimately they still have to make the vote. But they did vote and recommended a full pardon and restoration of firearm rights for Daniel Perry. By the way, how familiar are these names? Daniel Penny and then Daniel Perry. Just weird to me. If you guys remember, this had to do with, it was a BLM riot. And there was a guy who approached his car with a rifle. And then Perry had reacted in self-defense, shot in self-defense. Because they had, you know, at some of these, and there was video of it, at some of these riots that were happening in the middle of the street, BLM, Burn, Loot, Murder rioters were shutting down like entire city blocks. There was buildings on fire and all kinds of stuff. There were stories of, there was a story of a woman and her daughter and their dog who were trying to navigate around all of the closed streets around the riots in one town. I think this was actually in Tennessee. And they ended up, they had their car attacked because they drove too close to like one of the assembled riots and they went after their car. So this guy, he was, wasn't he like an Uber driver or something like that? And he got rerouted because it was the same situation. They had a bunch of streets, and I do remember this, they had a bunch of streets that had been closed down, and he was trying to navigate around it because if you have protests or riots happening, it's not like Google Maps is going to go, oh, by the way, there's a riot happening here, let's reroute you. They will keep trying to reroute you. Maps tries to route you through the way that it still thinks is open. And so he was trying to figure out what to do with this. So anyway, he ends up at this intersection and there were all of these rioters that were coming towards his car. And there's video of it. That's the other thing. They convicted him and they sentenced him to 25 years with this. They said that he had killed a man named Garrett Foster. And Garrett Foster was walking around with a rifle and they were blocking the road. It was a BLM protest. Perry had stopped. He was trying to honk his horn at the protesters, but he was trying to get away because, guys, how many videos have you seen of people's cars being attacked at that point? It was happening absolutely everywhere. And so there was a guy, this Garrett Foster guy, who had an AK-47, and he walked up. Perry was trying to get away from the crowd that had already surrounded his car. This guy had done nothing at this point. This was all on video. And so you had this Garrett Foster guy who walked up with the AK-47, and he was very aggressive. And sorry, it wasn't in low ready. When you look at the stills, the dude's pointing it at him. So yeah, you point a rifle at someone, you're probably going to get shot in self-defense. Don't draw on someone unless you're going to kill them. What the hell was Perry supposed to think? He's sitting in the car. You got a guy. I mean, there's stills of this. I've watched this video and I've looked at these stills so many times. What do you, I mean, what are you going to give the guy walking up towards you in an aggressive manner during a riot where people won't let your car pass? Are you going to sit here and be like, well, I guess I'll just sit here and wait and see if you shoot me? FAFO. Good night. You don't have to apologize for being legitimately worried about your life, particularly when there have been so many incidents of people having their car stopped and being attacked by rioters. See, he got sentenced. He was sentenced for 25 years in prison, which I thought was ridiculous. And I know apparently the governor did as well. And then apparently the paroles board did. So they pardoned him. So he's out and he's got his firearm rights restored. And in the meantime, you got, you know, the Democrats out there. Oh, he's a murderer who was on a mission to commit. He wasn't on a mission. That's so stupid and irresponsible. The guy was trying to get away from the riot and he was trying to find out how to get around because the GPS wasn't helping them because the GPS system didn't know that the streets were closed because of riots. I mean, imagine how scared you would be. You know, it's at night and you're trying to just get done with your job. You're trying to get home and you're sitting at a damn light and a bunch of people come and they're surrounding your car and you're just trying to get away. And then that makes them more aggressive. And then you got this moron with a coming towards you. There's a difference between open carrying a rifle and then bounding towards someone on camera aggressively and pointing it at them. So, you know, so he was pardoned. We're going to talk a little bit more. We got more about this case, but we got other stuff as well, including a very unlikely defender of Harrison Butkers. And then also, we're going to speak with, coming up, professor at Stanford School of Medicine, epidemiologist Jay Bhattacharya. He's going to talk to us about the World Health Organization. They're trying to get everyone to join their little fun treaty because they think that they're going to be able to manage future pandemics better. Really? Is that what this is all about?
Hi, I'm Margaret, a rhetoric and media major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently I was reading the story about a modest Mexican taco restaurant that won a Michelin star. It's a hole-in-the-wall taqueria. It's one of the very first restaurants in Mexico. That's kind of hard to do because they kind of look down on Italian, like the Michelin people look down on Italian and particularly Mexican cuisine. Because it's rustic and, you know, that's not like overprocessed and with them, you know. But they said that it's one of the first ones they got a star in the Michelin guide. It's El Califa de Leon. It's one of the 18 restaurants either given one or two stars in the inaugural Michelin Guide Mexico that was unveiled this week. So they only do like four types of tacos. So don't, you know, you get one of four types. That's it. So that's pretty impressive to get something like that. A New Jersey town wants to gas geese to death over a park because they're ruining it. They said that they're just taking dumps in the park and it's just ruining it. And community members are apparently there opposing what they said is an inhumane approach to the problem. They said that this town council voted for a plan to hire federal wildlife officials to round up 60 geese in Liberty Park when they can't fly and then gas them to death. They said they can't rid the park of the nuisance geese. And so they've called in exterminators. Geese are kind of mean, though. But you don't need to be gassing them. That's so stupid. But what?
I'm thinking food for the homeless.
Am I the only one? You know, you can have a nice goose. Right. Cooked goose. I'm just saying, if you're going to do something, like make it, you know, worthwhile. A Boston man was arrested for allegedly pointing a powerful laser at a Coast Guard helicopter. Philip Gagnon, 59. I mean, you're old enough to know you're not supposed to do that. The pilot had abort the landing. It was an MH-60 Jayhawk. And they said the guy who did it lives in a fourth floor apartment that overlooks the flight path. used by helicopters. And so, yeah, they said that an aircraft laser, like with the strikes are on the rise, they said. Interesting. If you're looking for a leg, it looks like they may have one. KRCR, Shasta Lake, California. They found literally a, well, it's a prosthetic leg that was just like left at the lake. Someone left their leg at the lake. That they, and one of the guys said, he found it. He goes, I found generator, cell phone, wallets, and keys. The scuba diver said, I've never found a leg. Jay Bhattacharya up next over at Gold Co. Gold Co is, they want to make it easy for you to actually access gold and silver to make sure that you have a hedge against inflation, protect your savings. It's a volatile economy. You don't want to wait around to find out how bad things could get. So add gold and silver, protect yourself with Gold Co. They make it easy. They have a free 2024 wealth protection kit. You can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this show. And they have thousands of five-star reviews. They've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. They're all about education first. They want to make sure that you understand the economy and of how gold IRAs work. And that makes it easier for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. So this is a super important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. Transparent, honest, no pressure. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was part of Warp Speed. These are important vaccines. We saved a lot of lives. They're important for the most vulnerable people, those over 65 years of age. They really aren't that critical for those of that are under 50 or younger. But those vaccines saved a lot of lives, but they're also, we have to be honest, some people got significant side effects from the vaccine. I have a number of people that are quite ill, and they never had COVID, but they are ill from the vaccine, and we just have to acknowledge that.
So that's Dr. Redfield, who everyone became very familiar with during the Trump administration in the early days and even after of the pandemic, the lockdown, everything else. And I find him to be a very interesting official because I don't agree with him on everything, but I do think that he was a little bit more critical, transparent maybe than some of the others who were in the government making these decisions. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you at the bottom of the second hour. And I've been very eager to talk to our next guest because when pandemic and lockdown and everything else happened, we live in an era where we have more access to information than we ever have before. And you would consider this such a great period of enlightenment, a great period of being able to ask questions and get answers and have honest discussions and not try to relegate people who are simply asking questions and wanting transparency, relegating them to like the trash heap of censorship. And in fact, what we got was the exact opposite, which then made people distrust everything that they were hearing even more. And as it turns out, for good reason. Joining me right now, you're very familiar with Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, professor at Stanford School of Medicine. He's been very outspoken with all of this, particularly too with the censorship. Obviously, we've talked about Biden v. Missouri or Murthy v. Missouri at this point. And also his new piece that he has over at Real Clear Policy, talking about the World Health Organization now urging not just us, the United States, but over 190 other governments to agree to this global treaty to prevent and manage future pandemics. And I got to say, Dr. Bhattacharya, I'm a little surprised by this because aren't we still conducting our own inquiry into this? How can we even come to a position of entering into a treaty with them when we're still doing looking at everything that we did wrong?
I mean, Dana, I think you hit it right on the head. The problem is that the WHO failed during this pandemic. They absolutely failed. They failed. They've elevated the people who potentially may have been contributed to causing the pandemic. The chief scientific advisor of the WHO is a man named Jeremy Farrar, who was the head of Wellcome Trust, which supported the Wuhan lab and the EcoHealth Alliance. The WHO mismanaged the pandemic, recommending lockdowns at scale, essentially copying the Chinese approach. We should not be trusting them with more power. And that is exactly what this WHO treaty is asking for, that we should give them more power over our health decisions, over our management of future pandemics. it's not wrong to have international collaboration on pandemics. I want to make sure people understand that's clear. But the problem is that these people do not deserve our trust. And to come now around and say we should keep the same people in charge as if they did nothing wrong before we've done an honest investigation of all of the problems that they caused, I think that's just a tremendous mistake.
And it's interesting, too, where you mentioned, you know, some of the misleading information the government gave, particularly with gain of function, because now it's now, even though we've known it the whole time, now the stories are coming out. Oh, it's official. National Institutes of Health, they came out and said, yes, you know, we did fund gain of function research, even though we were denying it. It makes it difficult to believe them. And to your point, too, with the WHO, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I remember distinctly when China was talking to the WHO about entering into, you know, group projects like this with other nations. Taiwan was excluded, even though they had been leading in terms of contamination and prevention and reducing numbers of infections. But nobody wanted to talk to them about what they were doing because of the animosity with China and Taiwan.
Oh, no, that definitely happened. And the WHO, Taiwan is persona non grata, or I guess country non grata in the WHO because of the Chinese influence there. In fact, there was a very awkward moment of one of the lead, sort of the lead official of the WHO, this name, man named Bruce Allward, was being interviewed by this journalist. And she asked him about Taiwan. This is like early 2020. And he pretended to not hear her and then like logged off the Zoom call because he couldn't talk about China. About Taiwan. I think a world organization devoted to health is a good idea. But we need honest, transparent leadership. We need open communication. We should not be having the kind of sort of anti-science decisions not being checked by other scientists. And certainly we should not be having this leadership that led us through very poorly this pandemic just get more power. I mean, the premise seems to be of this WHO treaty is that the only problem was they didn't have enough power, that they didn't take over the decision-making of countries enough. And I have no idea why anyone in the United States thinks it's in the American interest to do it. For all 190 countries, anyone that's listening, I'd recommend don't sign on, ask more questions, demand more answers before you say, yes, please take my sovereignty.
Yeah, especially when, as you've noted as well, there's a lot of questions as to what actually this entails, because you said that when you read the current draft of this whole treaty itself, it doesn't talk about harm prevention. It talks about things like fighting misinformation, which you have some experience in.
Right. I mean, their problem, they think that the problem was that there were outside critics of their anti-science policies. They changed the definition of the vaccine during the pandemic. They changed the definition of herd immunity. They embraced social distancing with no science, admittedly, absolutely no science behind it. They recommended lockdowns to the poorest countries where millions of people starved as a consequence of it. It's fine, I guess, that in science you can be wrong. The issue is like science corrects itself by allowing people to criticize each other, to talk to each other. What the WHO wants to do is essentially silence criticism. That's what, when they write, we want to suppress misinformation, what they mean is they want people to stop criticizing them effectively. And they essentially are leaning into this movement, unfortunately, worldwide movement to censor people who disagree with government policy and to use their control over social media to do that.
Yeah, and which you've been censored. You've been targeted just because you've been asking questions and sharing transparently information, which if that's the goal, I love what you said, you know, science corrects itself, which it does. I mean, if this is purely academic and it's purely, you know, to find answers and to remedy these issues, well, then you want to take all good ideas and you want to have those answers. But that's not what was wanted.
No. And in fact, as you mentioned with Missouri v. Biden or Murphy v. Missouri at the beginning of your segment, that essentially just so listeners understand, I'm sure your listeners understand, Dana, but like
we actually have Andrew Bailey is going to be on later this,
oh,
this
yeah.
hour.
He's,
yeah,
he's amazing. He's one of my heroes. I love what he's done. And so what that case found was that the U.S. government, the Biden administration, essentially was going to social media companies and telling them, you know, censor these people and these ideas, or else we're going to go after you. We'll use our regulatory power to destroy you. This is the threats to social media companies. And of course, they complied. I was put on a Twitter blacklist the day I joined Twitter for the crime of sharing the idea that lockdowns were a bad idea. I think the COVID era has revealed powers that our government shouldn't have. And it is incumbent on ourselves to hold the government to account and to put in place traditional American notions of checks and balances. I mean, the First Amendment is a great idea. The problem is we didn't have one during the COVID era. And I think that that's part of the reason why the United States fared so poorly, the world fared so poorly. And the WHO, what it wants is a power grab. It wants to suppress speech. It wants to censor people so that people won't criticize them. I mean, it's not that all the criticisms are fair or good or right. I mean, but that's just the way that the marketplace of ideas works. The good ideas rise to the top because they're true. The bad ideas don't. You can't ex ante say, oh, I know exactly what good ideas and bad ideas are. I'm the government, therefore you shouldn't criticize me. Yeah. That is a recipe for catastrophically bad decisions.
And this treaty, I know that from what I've been able to see, I don't think that the president has signed on to it, but I am interested if this is going to, I'm interested to see if this is going to be treated like as an actual treaty and go through the process as is required in the Senate.
I just saw a letter from, I think, 49 different senators led by Ron Johnson, all Republican, demanding that if the United States does want to consider this, that it be treated as a treaty, that it actually be get subject to a 2/3 vote in the Senate. I think that American people deserve at least that.
Right.
If we are going to sign away our sovereignty in this way, at least 2/3 of the Senate should agree on it. And we should have a massive public debate. It should become a central issue of the presidential election, right? If we are deciding, we saw what happened in the last 4 years. Every single American's welfare is at stake in these decisions. It's not a theoretical thing. It will happen again. And if we give the kinds of powers the WHO wants, it's going to impact the life of every single American.
And I think you're right with this, because you've noted, Doctor, that we have not repudiated the failed policies that, had such a disastrous effect, not just on our population in our country, but elsewhere. So why would we even entertain this idea? Because that's what it is. I mean, all of this is going to happen again because we did not thoroughly repudiate it the first time.
I entirely agree with that, Dana. You hear how naive I was, Dana. In 2022, I wrote a piece. In 2021, I wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal calling for a honest COVID commission, kind of like if you have a plane crash, you see what happened and you make some reforms. In 2022, I put out a blueprint for what an honest COVID commission would ask. There's something called the Norfolk Group document. It's still online. You can go check. Me and my friends, we wrote this thing. But just questions that you should ask an honest COVID. None of those questions have been answered by any official body. Not one of them has been answered by any official body. And at this point, it's quite frustrating. I mean, I honestly thought, because of the catastrophic mistakes we made during the pandemic, that scientific bodies would come together and say, well, for the good of the people, let's do an assessment, not to apportion blame, but just to say, here's what went wrong, here are the reforms we need, let's undertake them. I have not seen that happen in the United States. I mean, we do have the Republican Congress overlooking with this COVID commission starting to make some progress, but it needs to be a bipartisan thing.
Yeah.
Public health is not politics. You don't win with 50+1 in public health. You need basically universal support, and you gain that by being honest about ideas, about evidence. We have not had that to date.
We haven't had it, and I worry that we won't. I love what you had said previously. We're talking with Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, where you had said that going back in Enlightenment and the Gutenberg press and the democratization of ideals, and that we are at this, sort of second Enlightenment, but we have a choice. Are we going to go towards being able to actually access and share information? Or are we going to go towards tyranny? And I don't honestly think we've made that decision as a society yet, do you?
We have not. I would have thought it would have been the easiest decision to make in the history of mankind. But it's interesting because when the internet sort of exploded, people thought this is an engine for unleashing the creativity of the world, communicating with people from way far outside of our normal realm, and the interchange of ideas would just lead to human flourishing. But it turns out that the same technologies can be used for control or suppression. Creation and maintenance of authoritarian power, and so we face a decision: are we going to use these technologies that allow us to talk with each other very freely outside of the control of anyone looking over our shoulder, And then use that the same way the Gutenberg Press allowed people to print books and communicate with each other, which led to the scientific revolutions that we enjoyed. Or are we going to allow authoritarian powers to use that same technologies to contain us, to suppress us, to censor us, to allow us to put us in a corner where we just have to bow to the powers on high, you know, who say that they are the science itself?
Yeah, that's a great point. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, we so appreciate your speech in this and your fight in this. And of course, you know, we're watching the SCOTUS case as well. We're talking to the AG, Andrew Bailey, coming up next hour. So should be a good conversation too. And I definitely am going to mention this, but it's so good to have you on. Would love to have you back, but thank you. Thank you for your transparency and your honesty and your true criticism. It's we need more of it. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Daniel. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thank you. How is it possible that America could run short of amoxicillin? Amoxicillin is like the Swiss Army knife of antibiotics because it treats so many different types of infections. Doctors prescribe it for ear, nose, throat infections. It treats lower respiratory infections, sinusitis, which I've had before, skin infections, UTIs. So again, how could America run short on it? Antibiotics come from China and India. And if you or a family member get sick and there's no amoxicillin, now what? So that's why I have a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. I've used it for strep before. It comes with amoxicillin and it's in your kit now when you need it. So this is not a first aid kit. It's like an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with those essential prescriptions to treat over 39 medical issues. It's doctor prescribed antibiotics for infections of all types, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus you have a doctor's guide so you know exactly when and how to use each prescription. You've got your medications, no waiting to see the doctor, no lines at the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. So order yours online in minutes and they'll rush it to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I'm trying to get my head around this headline. Florida man is accused of stealing $30,000 in Pokemon cards and is foiled by a topless MMA coach. It's a lot of stuff happening here. First off, I know a little bit about Pokemon because when my kids were like super little, they were into Pokemon and they had the cards and all that. So I know that some of them are very valuable, but $30,000 in Pokemon cards, like, dude, what cards were you going for? You know what I mean? Like what he, so this was earlier, actually it was about 2 weeks ago. The guy entered pro play games in Miami. He wanted to see a binder full of Pokemon cards. He snatched them, attempted to flee. The store's general manager said that they felt so helpless because it was like watching $30,000 to $40,000 of their hard work just walk off. And then bystanders confronted them. And then, so they say topless. They make it sound like it's a woman. It was a shirtless MMA. You stupid. It's Newsweek. What's the matter with you? A shirtless MMA guy. The shop owner, I guess, was yelling outside because it was kind of a strip mall thing. And two martial arts coaches went out to help and they caught him and they whooped him on camera. It was a pretty entertaining video. But yeah, that's how, yeah, they can be like super, like, for instance, there's like, what is it? A PSA grade 10 Illustrator card that one dude who's on YouTube got for like 5.2, the most expensive card ever. That's wild. Like, you thought Beanie Babies were bad. I even remember those. That was a big deal in the 90s, wasn't it? I just remember as a kid, and it wasn't kids who had Beanie Babies. It was like adults who had them. It was weird. It was like,
what were those little porcelain things that people would collect? What were the name of those? They were like little dolls or something.
Precious Moments?
Was that it?
I don't know. Do they have the big eyes?
I'll have to look it up, but yeah.
I don't know. A Florida man busted for battery. This is gross. No. No. This guy used his soiled diaper as a weapon. According to the smoking gun, this happened with an 18-year-old Damian Caston who was arguing with his brother. And Caston, cops reported, is paralyzed but ambulatory by using his upper body. I'm reading the charging docs. Caston damaged walls. He apparently took his diaper off and threw it at his brother and struck his brother in the chest. And then that, so now he's charged with domestic battery. I am fascinated by this. The guy, the the guy with the wheelchair, isn't he? Because he took his diaper and threw his diaper and it became a weapon, and that's like assault. The hell's going on? It's come on. Third hour on the way. It's our friends over at ReadyWise. Just in case, you know, things go sideways, you want to make sure that you have meals on hand so your family can eat. You don't have to worry. You won't have to worry about what to feed your family. And it's important to be prepared. You can use code DANA20 and save 20% on any regularly priced item. They have right now an emergency 1 month supply 2 bucket bundle. It includes 36 pouches of premium survival food. The meals have 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day, getting everything the body needs to make it. So if it's, you know, it's freeze-dried, dehydrated, and refrigeration are required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. It's great if there's, you know, storms, like we're having storms, really bad storms right now in Texas, power outages, supply chain disruption, or maybe you just, you know, you want to go on a hunting trip and you just want to take some food. My grandpa used to always take my grandma's jug of unsweet tea and Spam. That man ate that the whole time he was camping. Imagine if he had ReadyWise, like actual meal. Just imagine. It had been so much better. He's looking up from heaven saying, why didn't I have ReadyWise? But this is a great American company. From start to finish, from the food to where it's packed to how it's shipped out, you're supporting American jobs. So use code DANA20 at ReadyWise.com. DANA20 will get you 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
So the NFL released a statement that he gave this speech in his personal capacity, and they do not, the NFL does not share his views. So, you know, listen, I like when people say what they need to say. He's at a Catholic college.
Yeah.
He's a staunch Catholic. These are his beliefs, and he's welcome to them. I don't have to believe them.
Right.
I don't have to accept them. The ladies that were sitting in that audience do not have to accept them. The same way we want respect when Colin Kaepernick takes a knee.
Right.
We want to give respect to people whose ideas are different from ours, because the man who says he wants to be president, you know who?
Yeah.
He says the way to act is to take away people's right to say how they feel. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be those people. So I'm okay with him saying whatever he says. And the women who are sitting there, if they take his advice, good for them.
Whoopi Goldberg kind of coming out a little bit for him.
Right.
That's surprising. That's, yeah, I didn't expect that. I mean, and I can't believe that this guy's still getting criticism over this. It's that Harrison Butker's the kicker for Kansas City Chiefs, because he, at Benedictine College's commencement address, he came out and he was saying that women should be celebrated if they want to stay home with their kids and if they want to be a homemaker. And apparently that made some of the woke scolds like super angry. And I don't get it. I don't get why. People are weird, man. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. And we're going to actually talk with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey coming up at the bottom of the hour, because he caught wind. He saw, is it the tweet, the X, the post? What is it? What do you call it now?
The city, it's X now. By the way, officially, I don't think
like the singular post to X. And, because the URL is still Twitter.
No idea. But yeah, the URL changed today. The URL is now X.com.
Interesting. So would post an X? Or as my friend Dave Bird says, crunching some grox? Like, I don't know. Anyway, long story short, Kansas City, like the city, doxed him. Doxed Buckers over this. Doxed him. And said, oh, he lives, you know, here in this town. And that seemed pretty shady. So the AG is looking into it. Why would you do that in Missouri with that, with Bailey as your AG? Why would you just even start FAing? Why? Why do people do this? He wakes up and he pulls one of those Rowdy Roddy Piper moments. Like, I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. That's what he does every single day. Like, who can I sue and make their lives hell today? Why would you do that in the state of Missouri when he's the AG? Do stupid stuff like that. Anyway, so they people are still giving him trash over this. It is weird, like in a weird societal thing, man. And I've been seeing a lot of this on the right. Have you seen a lot of this on the right? Where you get, they call them red pill bros. And they're these like guys and some of these chicks, some of these plain looking chicks, these people that get out there and they're like, marriage is a sham and you shouldn't get married. And they get mad at they want to lecture about relationships and children, but yet they're single in their 30s, miserable, lonely, childless, and bitter, which is no way to go through life. And they want to lecture everyone else who actually has happy, successful marriages and has raised kids and actually has experience, interpersonal experiences that go beyond just the screen on their monitors. It's weird to me. And I feel, and a lot of the reaction, because there were some people on the right that were mad at him for saying this, which I don't get. I really feel like there's been a psyop to infect part of the right with the same stupidity that you see on the left, because I see some people on the right who are just leftists. They act like leftists. They talk like leftists. They embrace the same ideals that leftists do, but they think that somehow they are exempt because they can call themselves conservatives, and they're not. They're not. It's the weirdest thing. But it's those people that I have seen that were joining with the left and reacting to this. And I don't get the pushback that he's getting. Now, I'll say this too. I didn't agree with her comparison to Kaepernick, because the criticism that I think, well, that speaking for myself, that I had of Kaepernick is that I thought that his protest was based upon a lie, because it was. The idea that there's this there's a breakdown between in relationship between the black community and policing. I mean, that's not a lie. But to say that the police, that it was a fact that they were targeting more black assailants than white assailants when it comes to police brutality and or police shootings, is not statistically supported by any publicly available number, not by any of the FBI uniform crime reports, not by the Bureau of Justice statistics, none of it. In fact, it was that the police shootings involving white assailants were greater than that of black assailants. And there are more brutality cases involving white assailants. And there's a lot of, I touched on some of this in one of the books that I've written about previous numbers that were released, but it's just not something that's supported by fact. Now, that's not to say that you can't object over cases where there looks like there's something that happened that's incorrect. Like, for instance, the shooting of the airman that was in Florida, right? The Air Force guy in Florida, where we talked about this, what, last week, when the cop showed up and the guy answered the door after the police were pounding, the officer was pounding on the door, and the guy answers the door and the officer just shoots him. And the guy had a firearm because he had no idea who was beating down his door. And I shared a number of stories of home invasions that happen in broad daylight where people will beat down somebody's door saying the sheriff's department or whatever. And then they come in and they tie up their wife and kids. Like, that happened most recently in Georgia, a broad daylight. So it happens. And so I understand you have the right to the Second Amendment in your own home. But the guy hadn't drawn down on the cop. And immediately when the door opened, the officer fired. So I think that there's a lot of questions as to why the officer responded the way he did. And also, he was going off of this third party like information from the building manager who didn't even sound certain that it was that particular apartment that she heard any kind of disturbance from. And there was no disturbance that was happening there at the time at all. So it was weird. So like instances like that, yeah, absolutely. Ask questions and hold people accountable. But to make these like grand universal statements and then say, well, I'm going to take a knee for the end. I mean, I'm for peaceful protest. And I thought that was much more preferable to the burning, looting, and murdering that we saw out in the streets, you know, afterwards for what, two or three summers in a row. But I thought that the premise was, the premise is based upon a lie. And that's what I disagreed with. So it's like, if you're going to protest about something, protest about something that is based in truth, especially if you're trying to persuade people to share your viewpoint, which kind of is the whole point of a protest, is it not? So I didn't think it was right to compare Bucker's commencement address with that, because he wasn't saying anything that was wrong or inconsistent. He wasn't denying women choices. He wasn't doing anything. He was simply saying that women, if they choose a different path, that should also be celebrated. And I thought he's getting all this heat, but you know what? This Harrison Butker's thing, he's getting all this heat, but did you see? Yeah, and I did see already. I saw that NFL had already sold out his jersey. Rachel McAdams gave an interview where she said that motherhood was the greatest thing that ever happened to her, hands down. And she says, your life is not your own anymore, but I had 39 years of me and I was sick of me. So I was happy to put the focus on some other person. She said, I waited a long time for motherhood. And she talks about how it's the, you know, her favorite role and how pleased she is with it. And I thought that was, you know, I mean, that's yeah. I mean, that she's right, but they're not, no one's, and she isn't denying or denigrating anyone else's choices. She's saying in this interview that she feels like that's one of the greatest roles you can have. And so no one's going after her. They're going after him because he spoke at a Catholic commencement address and he's a man. That's why it's a sexist reaction. They're going after him because he's a man. There's nothing that he said that was wrong. Are you shocked that Whoopi Goldberg defended him?
Yeah.
I actually am still. I can't get over that. Right?
Yeah.
That was unexpected. Yeah, that was a little unexpected. So we're going to talk with the AG coming up about all this because he's looking into it. He said that they want accountability because he's expressing his religious beliefs, and you have the Kansas City on Twitter like doxing him. And that is true. That's a government account. It's not just like a rando account. It's a verified city, like a town. It's like the city of Dallas verified or something. You know, so through that technicality, it's a government account that's targeting someone because of their speech. And then they took it down, but the internet's forever, guys. It was up long enough to get engagement. And a lot of people got screenshots. So just saying, it's Law and Order. I don't know anything about golf. Steve. This thing with golf. Scottie Scheffler was charged with felony assault of police at an accident scene outside of Valhalla. And the only thing that I keep seeing on social media is people complaining that his $80 pair of pants were ruined. He's the number one ranked player in the world, winner of the Masters last month. He was handcuffed and charged with felony assault of an officer at the Valhalla Golf Club because he would not stop at the scene of a fatal accident at the course entrance. It was about 7:30 in the morning. And he had said in his statement that he had that he was proceeding as directed by officers. It was chaotic and understandably so. It was tragic. And he said there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. He said I never intended to disregard instructions. And he said I'm hopeful to put this to the side and focus on golf today. Because didn't he show up in the tee time after that?
Made it.
So there was an accident and then he... Because there was somebody who was hit and killed by a shuttle bus, which is sad. And they were saying that he was driving recklessly, and he got charged with felony assault of an officer. Okay, explain to me that, because I am hearing so many things. Like, did somebody throw themselves on his car? Like, what happened?
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard, too.
And I don't know, because Steve and I have come at it from two different angles, because I think he saw some information this morning. I saw some different information this morning. But it looks as though the cop was trying to, you know, obviously directing traffic. And then when he saw Scotty going off to the side, he went over there and tried to block him and then got on his car, I guess. Like, you know, got in front of the car or something as he was advancing. So that is considered to be assault on a police officer.
Because they said that eyewitnesses said that Scheffler didn't do anything wrong. And he's going to play in the rest of the tournament. But there were eyewitnesses who were like, he actually didn't do anything wrong. But it's sad. They said that subject refused to comply and accelerated forward, dragging Detective Gillis to the ground. And he was in full uniform. He had a high visibility rain jacket on. And officer, his uniform pants were at $80, were damaged beyond repair. And people were saying that actually is false. Like, he didn't drag him. What in the world is this?
Yeah,
so I don't know.
So what it looks like? No, Jeff Darlington, who works for ESPN, has been doing a really good job with this. But he said, like he was trying to drive around the fatal scene that Scheffler had nothing to do with, and the officer tried to grab onto his, I would assume, a very expensive car, and then he just like wouldn't let go. And so the charges are only a second degree assault of a police officer, and then like criminal mischief and reckless driving is all he's getting. But he's playing right now, and you heard he keeps birdieing, so he's doing all right.
Seems like he's doing all right.
After having a mugshot.
Yeah. Man, what a way to start your Jiminy Christmas. It's one way to start it. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, does it seem like there was a little bit of some overreactions maybe?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like that. But I mean, it is a fatal
scene. I mean, so it's tragic. So I get it. You know, you got emotions running high.
For fatal scene.
Because these officers, they see stuff, you know. It's like, I get it. Anyway, that's some of the latest. That's some of our Law and Order. All right, so coming up, we got headlines on the way. We're also going to, as I said, talk to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Because I do think when you consider your town or your government agency, their social media account, that's the government. That's a government account. It's the government. So there is a case to be made that if they're like trying to go after you and dox you and violating a term of service, by the way, because that's what that was. We're going to talk to Andrew Bailey about all this, the AG of Missouri, because he's looking into that Kansas City going after Harrison Buckers. This is all wild.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Because everything can't be stupid enough, NBC is unveiling a gay Animal Kingdom documentary series called Queer Planet. And they're going to showcase gay penguins, gay lions, and gay fish. But, like, what about trans lions, though? Like, what about those? I'm just curious. They said it's the first of its kind documentary. And so they're marking, again, it's Pride Month. Pride is a sin, by the way. With a whole documentary on queer animals. Why do we got to go to this extent? Guys, look at the way the animals do it. So it's basically a bunch of people, like, trying to creep on animals? Dude, so many people are a little obsessed with the sex. Yeah, I mean, there's it's at an unhealthy level.
I didn't know there were mentally ill animals until now.
I mean, what in the world is this? Like, why do you got to do the animal stuff? Like, can you just stop gay penguin? What in the world? Trans lions. I can't. I don't even want to. I don't want to. Where are we? Where? I just lost everything. Where's it at? Let's see here. We also have a fifth American tourist was arrested at Turks and Caicos Airport after ammo found in their luggage. Look, everybody, let me tell you something. Two things. If you can afford to go to Turks and Caicos, you can afford to get a travel bag that you don't take to the range and you don't take on a hunting trip. This isn't a Second Amendment issue because this is they don't have that there. And they, you know, yes, I think it's kind of going above and beyond. But at the same time, you got to like be very careful with this stuff. Andrew Bailey comes next. Stick with us.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. And, you know, we've been talking about this Harrison Buckers, his speech that he gave at Benedictine College. And I think a lot of the people that are upset about where he celebrated women and women's choices, which, by the way, he didn't deny anybody's choices the way that Linda Hirschman has done over the years, or Gloria Steinem has done over the years, or third wave or fourth wave or fifth wave or infinity wave feminists have done over the years. If women don't make the choices that they make, because it's, you know, pro-choice is just a shtick. But he also held men to account, which is what they missed. I thought it was a great address, but apparently the city of Kansas City did not think so. I've never seen anything like this, homegrown in Missouri. And I feel like they forgot that Andrew Bailey was the attorney general of the state of Missouri. And I was joking, and I hope he doesn't take this the wrong way because we're going to bring him on in a moment. But I'm like, he wakes up in the morning and is like, who am I going to mess up today? That's what he does. He wakes up in the morning. And he's like, somebody's going to get kicked in the neck. Who's it going to be? Who's stepping on taking everybody? And it happened to be Kansas City. They were just like, we're going to tweet and dox this guy, Harrison Buckers, and tell everybody where he lives. And they were over his commencement address. Well, the AG got wind of that. He didn't like it too much. He thought that's kind of weird. A city, a government institution going after this guy for his free speech. So they gave him something else to do. He's got so much stuff on his plate already. And the attorney general joins us now via Skype. I hope you don't take that the wrong way, General, but it's true, though. I mean, you're just like taking all comers. But you made a good point because it's a government entity going after him.
Yeah, Dana, look, this is a ridiculous attack by a progressive city official to try to silence Harrison Butker from his free expression of his religious beliefs. That's not tolerated under our system of government. It's not tolerated under Missouri law. Fortunately, the Missouri Attorney General's office has authority under the Missouri Human Rights Act to fight back against this kind of discrimination on the basis of religion. And we will absolutely use every tool in our disposal to hold accountable anyone who is going to deprive Missourians of their right to free exercise of religion. And that's what's going on here against Harrison Buckers. We've got to continue to fight back.
Yeah, and this, because this wasn't done as, I don't know how this could be interpreted as anything other than intimidation, what they did.
Yeah, that's right. It's retaliation, it's intimidation, it's coercion. They didn't like what Harrison Buckers said in his religious speech, where he was expressing the tenets of his Catholic faith to a group of graduating students from a Catholic university. And they took umbrage at that. They didn't like it. Progressives don't like the Christian faith. They want to silence the Christian faith. And if you listen to what Harrison Butker said, that was a large part of his speech, was that, like, look, the left wants Christians to remain silent, wants them out of the public domain, you know, practicing worshiping in private where no one understands the faith, no one understands what they're saying. And Harrison Butker said he's not going to be silent, and I'm proud that he wasn't. And at the end of the day, we're going to stand with anyone who wants to express their religious beliefs in the state of Missouri and prevent this kind of discriminatory retribution, retaliation, coercion against it. There is no rational explanation for why a city official would express the home of residence for a public official who made that kind of statement unless it was retaliation against their religious beliefs.
Exactly. We're talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. And I'm glad that you're standing up to this, because I can't imagine, especially in this type of environment where, you know, people have been attacked for wearing red hats. They get attacked if they define what a woman is. They get in all of this. And you have all of these college grads that are watching this guy, you know, Benedictine College, just say things that weren't even controversial 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And that's a chilling effect, because they are evaluating their own speech because they see how this guy, who is an NFL player, how he is being treated and targeted by the city. And they're probably thinking, my gosh, if they can go after him, who's to say that they couldn't do the same thing to me? And I have, like, so much, you know, less of a platform than an NFL player.
Yeah, that's right. Look, the whole idea behind the First Amendment is that it protects a free, fair, and open marketplace of ideas to include religious beliefs. And the left can't win the argument on the merits, so they have to silence any voices in opposition. We've seen that in our case against the federal government, the big tech lawsuit, Missouri v. Biden, that's pending at the United States Supreme Court. And we see it in cancel culture now. Certainly that's what's going on against Harrison Butker. But look, this is shameful behavior on behalf of the left, and really shame on the NFL. You know, their DEI officer, who's supposed to support diversity and inclusion, bemoans what, you know, badmouths what Harrison Butker said. So basically they tolerate inclusion and diversity unless it's Christian beliefs.
Yeah, they had no problem when Travis Kelce was chugging a beer at a commencement. But, you know, if you're, I mean, and I'm not just passing shade on him. I mean, you know, come on. There wasn't a problem with that, but there's a problem with Harrison Butker and what he said. I just feel like that's such a double standard as well. But one didn't threaten the institution of, you know, government, whereas the other one does, because, you know, tyrants don't like the building block of family. They don't like the building block of actual choice like that.
That's right. Again, I think Harrison Butker had it correctly when he said that the progressive tyrannical left wants to drive Christianity from the public domain and prevent anyone from expressing Christian beliefs. We're not going to let that happen on my watch. I'm proud to stand with Harrison Butker, protect all Missourians' right to free exercise of religion.
And that Missouri v. Biden case, I wanted to ask you about that as well, because we just had last hour, we had Dr. Jay Bhattacharya on to talk about the World Health Organization, because he's part of this. And I know that you guys know each other. He by the way, he had some wonderful things about you. I know the Supreme Court heard opening arguments. We're expecting, tell us what the latest is on this, because I know SCOTUS season isn't until like June for decisions.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think at the end of the day, we'll get a decision in June. You know, we argued that case, and I was appalled that Associate Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, you know, had the audacity to say, well, it seems like the First Amendment inhibits the government's response to a pandemic or an emergency. Like, yeah, that's exactly right. The Constitution exists to protect us from the government. Those are God-given rights. They don't come from man. They're codified in the Constitution as a bulwark, a defensive measure to protect us from the government. So we clearly have a misunderstanding by a Supreme Court justice about the very foundational principles of this country and our national identity. But at the end of the day, I think that Justice Alito and Justice Thomas clearly pointed out that at a minimum, what happened here was the government, the federal government, significantly encouraged or actively participated in censorship on big tech social media. We still believe that we've made a submissible case that big tech social media was actually coerced by the federal government. And if you look at the evidence that's come out from Congressman Jordan in his congressional hearings, he will show you the emails from big tech where they felt they were coerced. But under any of those standards, we still win. And at the end of the day, this case is still pending at the trial court. And regardless of what the Supreme Court does, we're going to be back down at the trial court level in merits discovery, rooting out the vast censorship enterprise. I'm confident that the First Amendment right to free speech, free from government censorship, will be vindicated.
Oh, I can't wait for that day. And we appreciate you leading the charge on this. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, watching out for all Missourians. We just need to copy and paste you and all these different AG offices across the country. Good to see you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
We have more to come, folks. It's true. I wish, like, can you imagine if you had an army of AGs like that? Golly. Because think of it. All of these fights that have been on speech And I mean, just think about some of the big battles that we've had in some of these major court cases. It's been AGs that have been leading the cause on this. Like Paxton's a very good one. Bailey's a very good one. Schmidt, now he's in the Senate. He was a very good one. Not everyone has the same. I think there's something to Missouri AGs, though. Isn't there?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. There's something about the Missouri AGs. They grow them differently there. They're a little different in our home state. I don't know what it is. Is it the show me thing? I don't know. Like, they don't mess around. That's why I was like shocked when I saw this thing with Kansas City. Like, why would you do this? You know this guy's here. And then if he ever runs for higher office or does something else, you're going to get somebody else. They just, they grow them different there in Missouri. It's just, you know, they're very different. All right. So this, and we're going to be watching that speech, the Biden v. Missouri or Murthy v. Missouri, because that's SCOTUS season when they come out with all the decisions. It's usually around like June is when it happens. That's when it's SCOTUS season. They come there before they go recess, and they have all their final decisions, and they, after they've reviewed all the cases and heard, you know, the opening arguments, etc. So he thinks we're going to hear about that coming up. And then if going to the lower courts, he noticed he mentioned the process of discovery. Dude, the endless news cycle that's going to happen over that. I am very excited for the process of discovery. I don't think that the left appreciates how excited we are over that process, particularly when some of the stuff that we've seen, like, for instance, with Amazon and the other, that, because that's the other story that came out, how Amazon was you have the Biden administration putting pressure on these digital retailers so that they would tamper down and alter the algorithms of what books are recommended to you, and even alter the sales rate and what if someone can be reflected in the best-selling list or not, based on whether or not the content of the book contradicted their narrative that they were pushing on COVID and the pandemic and all of that stuff. I mean, so it's very interesting stuff. We have some more things I want to make sure that we hit too, because this, I have a lot, we got some, a lot of really good audio, but I wanted to touch on, let me pull this up, because this was, where's this at? Kane asked me, he was begging me to make sure I hit audio soundbite 9. So this is the vice president, Kamala Harris. Is this like her economic policy pitch? What? Just listen to it. This is wild. Audio soundbite 9.
And I was sharing with Mr. Phelps that we, the president and I, because of the Inflation Reduction Act, the Infrastructure Act, we are dropping trillions of dollars on the streets of America right now to build back up our roads and our bridges, our sidewalks, to invest in a clean energy economy.
That, okay, all right, so trillions of dollars.
Trillions.
I mean, she's saying what they didn't want to say,
right,
if we're being honest about it. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. Ooh, interesting. Trillions of dollars in the streets of America for bridges and roads. What was our deficit again?
Yo, 30, go, it's 35 trill.
Caprillion. Yeah. I don't even, yeah, something insane like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So what is that going to, that sounds like, what was the plan under Barack Obama where it was busy work? It wasn't Build Back Better. That's Biden's.
It was some infrastructure thing.
Yeah. He had a big infrastructure thing and they were really trying to sell it. That's when he was trying to shore up votes in the blue wall.
Yeah, I forget
and
what
elsewhere.
It was called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But most things called, whatever they're called in Congress, it's like opposite of what they actually do. Like the
completely.
Affordable Care
yeah.
Act.
Yeah.
You break with that. It's not affordable at all.
We have more to come as we barrel towards Today in Stupidity. Although I don't think anything can get dumber than NBC's Queer Animals for Pride Month. Who does that? It's like, I'm going to go find some gay lions. I'm going to record these gay penguins getting it on. Like, who does that? Like, who sits around there and thinks about that for content? In NBC, apparently. Yeah, that's who does it.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
They're saying things like from the river to the sea, you know, that's just not some cheeky chant. They're basically saying they want to see the destruction of the state of Israel and a second Holocaust. That's what Hamas wants. That's why Hamas baked babies in ovens. That's why they were raping the mothers. That's why they were beheading elderly people on October 7th. You know, it's interesting. I didn't see those folks protesting Hamas's actions. They were very quiet. about Hamas's actions. Now they're just doing and they're protesting this. But I'd also say people should learn their history. The fact of the matter is there's never been a country or state called Palestine. Jews have the longest connection to that territory. It goes back to biblical times, thousands and thousands of years. They were displaced by hostile forces over the years. But just in the immediate history, until World War I, that was hundreds of years of rule by the Ottoman Empire, by Turks. That was not a Palestinian state. And then the Brits took it over after World War I. They had the mandate for Palestine. And the vision was to have a Jewish state and an Arab state. And in the UN, after World War II, adopted Jewish state, Arab state. Jews accepted it, founded a modern Israel. The Arabs rejected it and went to war against Israel, a war that they lost.
Mm. Wow. Some history there from Ron DeSantis. I love hearing people just get right to the point of it. And he's exactly correct in all of this. You know, I bet half of the people who are building those pup tent encampments didn't know the history of this area. They still don't. Like, they didn't even know what they were talking about when they were chanting that heinous from the river to the sea nonsense. They remember the lady who was like, what do you mean, what sea? Like, what? Really? Really? Jiminy. Welcome back. This conclusion of our third hour. So this just happened. You guys remember the dude who broke into Pelosi's house and attacked her husband with a hammer? And there was some weirdness there, right? Oh, yeah. He's described as former nudist, David DePape. And he was a leftist. People kept trying to act like it was, you know, they try to act like Trump sent an assassin. And a guy was like a leftist who at his house, remember, he had all the flags flying, like literally. And he was given the sentence today. He was convicted of kidnapping and assault. He broke into the house. And there was that weird video where you had her husband who was in his britches and he was in the, it was weird. It was, there's some weird stuff. I don't know. Do you still feel like we got the whole story? It's weird.
No. But the fact he got 30 years and I guess no one's going to be able to talk to him and get a story out of him. Who knows? But
I don't know.
Yeah. He's put away for a while.
Yeah. He's going to be going away for it, but it was weird. Yeah. Like it showed up and they open the door and he's standing there in his boxers. And then that tubby DePape dude is standing right there next to him. And it's just weird.
And also, and 30 years, do murderers get 30 years?
Well, I think it's like the type of assault. It was like breaking and entering and all of that, right, too. Maybe he was, you know, I'm trying to be benefit of the doubt, and because any alternative is weird to me. But like maybe he was just trying to talk him away from hurting him and trying to I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
true.
Know. But he also seemed sloshed. So it's just the whole thing's weird. Anyway, the guy got 20 years for one count, 30 years for another count. They were run concurrently. He was also given credit for the 18 months that he's been in custody currently. So that's the latest. All right. Today in Stupidity Camp.
All right. It is New York City's Mayor Eric Adams. He's going after American meat. He's going after steak. He's going after burgers. He's going after ice cream.
For
Listen
some reason.
To what he says here. It's cut 19. Well, sorry about that.
Food is the third biggest source of cities' emissions, right
emissions
after
thing.
Buildings and transportation. But all food is not created equal.
Yeah, what's the worst stuff?
The vast majority of food that is contributing to our emission crisis lies in meat and dairy products.
Yeah, it's too bad because we're not going to, I'm just going to keep eating it. That's how that's going to work. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday. Happy Friday. We made it. Have a great weekend.